BYUSN, Cougar football unbeaten, 5-0, ranked 18th. But the schedule is about to get much tougher. What is a fair expectation for BYU's record over the final seven games? BYU TV dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler joins the show to discuss his expectations for the Cougars over the final seven, plus what Bear Bachmeyer is doing best at QB right now.
Punter Sam Vanderhaar breaks down the fake field goal from the win over West Virginia and the importance of special teams this season. And Hoopsters Mariah Hudgens and Lara Rokel update us on prep for the Lee Kamard era just weeks away.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, October 7th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who has significant straight line speed, Jerem Jordan.
I never had that at any point in my life. Just kidding. Fifth grade, my coach called me Flash.
There you go.
My soccer team. But I peaked early. Over the weekend, Chase Roberts, Friday, had that breakaway 85-yard run, right? According to our analytics, real analytics, he was going 21.2 miles per hour,
whoa,
which was fourth fastest players in college football in week six. This is what they posted. They're saying he gets to 21.2 here.
Right there.
Which is incredible. He said, I wish I was like Parker Kingston. I could unhitch the trailer, right? I'm actually not so sure. Let me bring up the following.
Oh, boy.
So in the NFL, okay, That would have matched DK Metcalf's fastest run in the NFL this year. Are we saying that Chase Roberts is as fast as DK? I love Chase. Chase is our boy. I love Chase. I have a Chase jersey. I don't know that 21.2 is the real number, because that the fastest in the NFL this year is 22.38. You're telling me that Chase is probably, let's be real. Let's be real right now, Spence. Probably a 4.6 guy. Maybe a
like Puka
Nacua. 4.5. Yeah. That's probably fair, right? Am I unfair in that?
No.
4.59, we hope.
But is he capable, given the right moment, in the right space,
yes,
with his length and his
stride? I just don't believe it. You're telling me Chase ran as fast as DK Metcalf's fastest run in the NFL?
How do we refute the analytics, though? How do we refute the math?
I test.
I test says slower.
I think he would have scored. I had him at 19.8. I test. I don't know. But Chase is fast. Is he like breakaway home run speed in college? No, but is he one of the top 25 receivers in college football, in my opinion? Yeah. Yeah. Props to Chase, but I don't believe the 21.2.
Wow. See, I'll buy into that, because it's not like he was running 21.2 for the whole time. It just
peaked at 20.
Peak.
Yes.
It was just a peak and then maybe slowed down.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is why he's like,
I gotta
unhitch the trailer.
I want to get a car next to the IPF, and I'll go 21.
You're going to
see
race,
if he's with me.
You're going to build up, but you have to, like, build up to it, right?
Right. He starts running, and I'll get to 21.
See if you can run 21.
I love our boy Chase. I'm just saying that feels a little fast. You're telling
speed
me he's as fast as DK Metcalf?
His name is Chase.
That's what the opponents are doing. It's a description.
On that play,
it's not a noun, it's an adjective.
That literally was happening. Chasing Chase. On that note, rise and shout. It's time for a 21-mile-an-hour edition of What's Trending. Combined record for BYU's next seven opponents, 29 wins to only 7 losses.
6-1 would be phenomenal. 5-2 would be outstanding. Because the quality of the opponents that they're facing is outstanding.
Undefeated BYU football, 5-0 for a second straight season. Understandably feeling good, ranked number 18 in the country as they approach a showdown in Tucson with Arizona. The schedule.
Where?
In Tucson.
Tucson.
Or sorry, Tucson.
For some reason, it got super French super quick.
Whatever it is.
I don't know how.
Okay. The Cougars are headed there to try and get to 6-0, and starting with Arizona, that schedule, yeah, it gets much more challenging. Yesterday, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick shared specifically his opinion on just how tough the approaching schedule is.
Yeah, the next 6 weeks is without question the toughest stretch in BYU history, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything even close to what we're about to go this next 6 weeks, and starting with this week at Tucson.
Whoa, toughest stretch in BYU football history. If you missed it yesterday or on social media, Let's add more context on how tough the upcoming schedule will be for BYU. Greg Wrubell tweeting out the following: combined record of BYU's first five opponents, 9 wins, 19 losses. Combined record of BYU's next seven opponents, 29 wins to only 7 losses.
If you take UCF off that, it's 26-5.
Holy cow. Jerem, do you agree with Aaron Roderick that this upcoming stretch of games is the toughest in BYU history?
You know, we've not looked at 6 games consecutively like this. We've looked at probably 4. There have been tougher stretches of kind of 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, 1991 notably.
Yeah, I would say, you know, 03 and 04 had tough non-conference out of the gate. 2016 was tough out of the gate. There have been tough schedules. This is pretty tough. Aaron might be right. I mean, you look at this 6-game stretch, everybody is 4-1 or 5-0 in the next 6. I mean, that will change, but as it stands, that's how it is. Yet, FPI looks pretty favorable on BYU. 70% at Arizona, 58% at home, 52% at Iowa State. Surprises me just a touch. At Texas Tech, 40% is actually better than I would think. 67% TCU. 60% essentially at Cincinnati, who's way – by the way, Arizona, Cincinnati, better than we thought. Both 4-1. Cincinnati with one of the best wins in the Big 12 this year, beating Iowa State at home on Saturday. And
they're
then UCF.
On the ASU trajectory from last year.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And this is no Baylor, no ASU, by the way, no Kansas on this schedule for BYU. So it is tough. It very well could be, because this is the Power Four era for BYU football. We've not encountered this. I mean, even when BYU had its stretch last season, when it went to 9-0, they didn't have this stretch of games, this tough of a schedule. So he's probably right.
Think about if Utah beats Arizona State on Saturday.
Massive game, by the way.
That matchup between BYU and Utah could be a ranked matchup. BYU's next game after that could be a ranked matchup against Iowa State. 2 weeks after that could be a ranked matchup against Texas Tech. A week after that could be a ranked matchup against TCU. A week after that could be a ranked matchup against Cincinnati.
So Aaron's right. And this is, you know, the opponents get tougher, and BYU's 5-0. And what have I been screaming since August? BYU could be 5-0, 5-1, 6-0, and we still wouldn't know how good they are.
Beat Arizona and be a little bit ahead of schedule.
Oh, 6-0 would be incredible. And it's something that is totally reasonable. I mean, Arizona's better for sure. That would be BYU's best win for sure. There's been a ramp up. I would say Colorado's better than West Virginia, but other than that, it's kind of been pretty gradually uphill for BYU on the schedule.
Yeah, as far as 6 consecutive games goes, like, we would have to take a deep dive.
I'd have to look closer, but it's fair to say this is probably it.
In that little compartment of 6 games,
yeah.
This is probably the toughest back-to-back the BYU has ever faced.
There's one bye in there.
I'll add this. With FPI, we showed you the percentage win odds of each game. In the 7 games, they are saying that BYU is predicted to go 4.3 wins, 2.7 losses.
So 4-3.
So 9-3 at the end of the regular season.
Oh, 9-3.
Okay. Beat Arizona and just maybe they can pull off 4-2 in the back 6, be 10-2 and be in the mix to be available if tiebreaks fall their way to go to Dallas and play in the Big 12 championship.
Dumb tiebreaks. Yesterday, you guys talked to ESPN's Trevor Manage about a fair expectation over the final 7 games.
6-1 would be phenomenal. 5-2 would be outstanding, because the quality of the opponents that they're facing is outstanding. I mean, they've got Texas Tech, Iowa State, TCU, the rivalry game with Utah, Cincinnati's playing exceptionally well, UCF is a tough out now. And so you've got a really tough bunch of opponents there.
Okay, so what's the fair expectation? Final 7, what's the record?
I'm in line with ESPN's Football Power Index. Not often is that the case, but when you look at the back 7, I think 4 wins, very, very doable for BYU. And 3 losses because of the difficulty is understandable. Listen, if BYU just takes care of business at home, then that's 3 wins right there. And then you tack on
get one win
at Arizona. If you get 2 road wins, now you're 5-2. Now you're 10-2. Okay, so take care of business at home. and then find a way to win two road games. But the mathematics shake out that the regression to the mean is most likely 4-3. This feels like right now a 9-win BYU football team in the regular season. Not saying they can't overachieve and can't go out and prove something different.
Yes. And
health is paramount.
And, yeah.
What are the players involved in these games? Like, how does BYU's depth hold up on both sides of the ball and their critical positions at linebacker and their skill positions of quarterback and running back and wide receiver? BYU's taken some hits the last few weeks, and now it's like, oh, man, can BYU hang on and keep their best players on the field? Because Iowa State just lost their two best cornerbacks. And
it showed.
It showed against Cincinnati. Like, they got lit up. It matters when your best players are not available.
Yeah. I think Ferris 4-3. I think it could easily be 3-4, though. I think BYU needs to be careful. They have to make some clutch plays in close games to win. A few comments on 5-0, then the next seven. BYU's strength of record is 13th right now. They've done a nice job taking care of business against teams they are supposed to beat. FPI is 20th. Strength of schedule is 105, to Greg's point, of 9-19. 105. So that's why BYU's 5-0, because it was 105. They have won the games. They should be credited with that. That's great. Remaining strength of schedule, 27th. That seems low, by the way. I would think it's like top 15, which seems low for 26-5 against the combined record of the next
if
six.
If you take UCF out of that, I wonder what it is.
Yeah, good point. BYU's thin in some spots, to your point. Let's talk about it. They're hanging by a thread in a few spots. Wide receiver, running back, linebacker. We are going to see some guys like Ace Kufusi, Miles Hall, Max Alford. They will show us what they can do. Our hope is that Jack Kelly is good to go as soon as humanly possible. TBD on that, right? He's in the – we'll talk about that in a second with the depth chart. It is important that BYU flexes its depth. Now, I say depth. What I mean is proven depth. We've seen Miles Hall a little bit. We haven't seen Ace Kufusi a ton. We haven't seen a ton of Jovessa Demoni, but the fumble doesn't help his cause. We know he's better than that. Preston Rex, haven't seen him a ton. Who's going to show up? Is it more on Bear's plate? Because Bear suddenly went off for 351. That was great. Like, Bear showed us we can be, which we were calling for on Friday, Spence.
Now opponents have to respect BYU's ability to pass the ball.
Yes.
That was huge.
That was big time. And that was something that Friday, you and I talked about how we expected BYU to be explosive. You started that conversation, and I added to it of like, yes, I agree. Like, be explosive in the pass game. And we saw a lot of that down the field to Chase Roberts. And the run game has been explosive this year. LJ Martin seems banged up a little bit, but that's every running back through 5-6 games in college football. So it is tough to be 5-0 and be like, yeah, we see kind of a one game above 500 record maybe coming here, and you hope it's not one game below. But the schedule's really tough. This BYU team on Friday night showed us an element they hadn't yet. If that element is there more, which is an explosive pass game, they have a chance to be 4-3 in the next seven. And that seems weird, given 5-0, given number 18 in the country. But that schedule has been super manageable for BYU. It's about to get really hard. And BYU's got to stay healthy, like you said. They've got to make clutch plays. Will Farron missing two field goals in a row, you're not going to see that for the rest of the year. That was weird. He's going to be money.
He's back on track, made his next one.
He's going to be money the rest of the year. He's going to make a game winner at some point here. We trust in that. So, yes, it is concerning, however, how tough the schedule is. And we've been talking about that four-game stretch. We now flex it out to Arizona and Cincinnati. We include that. And, heck, like Trevor mentioned, UCF's not a gimme either at the end. We knew this. We knew what it was when we picked it up, right? The Big 12, Power 4 football. We want this. We welcome this challenge. But it is now the defining part of the season. If you go to Arizona and you win, ahead of schedule, you're 6-0. You probably were supposed to be 4-2, 5-1. Bear's shown us that he's good. The Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker injuries, though.
These
are significant, because what if Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly don't make the plays they make at Colorado and they march down and score a touchdown and win that game? The season rhetoric changes. So hopefully it doesn't change that much with the injuries that those guys have right now.
BYU, because of what they did against West Virginia, now Arizona has to reposition and prepare for the Cougars to throw the ball. And Arizona hasn't given up a passing touchdown all season.
Only team not to do that.
It feels like BYU is going to have to do that if they want to win this game in Tucson. Yeah. And Kalani, if he wants to stay perfect against Arizona as the head coach of BYU, he's 4-0 all time.
Yep.
Okay, he's won in how many different locations against Arizona?
What did we say? Was it four?
Four wins in four different locations. Tucson, Provo, Vegas, and Glendale. That's crazy.
Let's go to Mexico City and do this. Come on.
You mentioned Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. They are both listed on this week's depth chart, Jerem. I am probably going to read way too much into this, so bear with me. But if they are both listed on the depth chart, I don't think that Jack Kelly is going to be out for longer than 1 week. That's how I'm reading this.
That'd be great.
And I think Isaiah Glasker will play
Utah,
against Arizona. I don't think there is any way Jack Kelly misses the game against Utah. This is me speculating.
It's great news. I love that. I'm going to clap for that.
Taking in what I have seen, things I have heard, Spencer's opinion, Jack Kelly will play against Utah. He'll sit out against Arizona.
Come on.
He will play against Utah. And Isaiah Glasker, I expect to see on the field in Tucson against Arizona.
And yeah, the Isaiah Glasker thing kept out. He was kept out because they had a big lead in the second half is what we kind of understand, right, from Paul Calcaterra. Obviously, conversations that we're understanding. That's good news. So, yeah, because he's in the depth chart, it doesn't mean Jack's what. look at the injury report when it comes out. That is the truth.
Sure.
Even when Utah didn't do it in week one and now they know.
Yeah.
Or of conference.
I think Jack's going to be listed as questionable.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Glasker will be listed as probable.
Little over
there. You go. Our question of the day. Man, Aaron Roderick laid out the table, said, look, BYU is about to take on the toughest stretch in BYU football history. So, in that vein, what do you expect BYU's record to be in the final seven games? Seth underscore T underscore Jensen on Instagram is wearing his blue goggles. 6-1.
What?
Just enough to get to Arlington without having to beat any tiebreakers.
Okay, listen, that's awesome. We would all love it. If BYU had been as explosive in the pass game Friday as in some other games, I would feel like that was possible. 6-1 is a big ask. And if this team pulls that off and Bear Bachmeyer and company are doing this, are you kidding me? He's the fifth freshman ever since 2000.
In 25 years.
To win 10-plus games
as a true freshman.
I mean, Bear's playing way better than we thought. But there are injuries of significance that could really affect this. So, hey, 6-1, there's some big-time blue goggles.
Would you take 3-4 if it included a win over Utah?
Probably. But I would like to play it out because I do think that, 4-3 is in the mix, which I called for 9-3 preseason, so we're tracking for that right now, which is awesome. That'd be great. It's not get to Arlington good, but it's good. Okay, current bowl projections for BYU, week 6. ESPN going BYU versus Washington in the Alamo Bowl.
Okay.
Versus Georgia Tech in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, USA Today. Clemson in the Pop-Tarts. South Carolina in the Liberty from SI. CBS Sports. BYU versus Mizzou, that's an SEC team, don't forget. In the Texas Bowl. If you had to pick one of these, which one do you like the most?
I want the Pop-Tarts Bowl at some point. I love the idea of going to Orlando and having that mascot
free
and the
product.
Hoopla around it.
Yeah.
And frankly,
it's a good bowl game.
It's a great bowl game.
It's kind of the number three. The number one team goes to the playoff. And if you don't get a second team in, they're probably Alamo and then Pop-Tart. That's Iowa State went last year after losing the Big 12 title.
The number four bowl game is the Texas Bowl. It feels that way.
Which is still a good bowl game. And I would argue top five bowl in BYU history.
The Liberty Bowl is probably in that fifth spot.
Which the Liberty Bowl right now is probably the third most prestigious bowl game BYU's ever been to.
Maybe.
In 01.
I probably like the Liberty Bowl situation the least because it's the toughest place to get to.
Yeah.
And it would be a de facto home game for South Carolina. So I don't like that. Pop-Tarts Bowl, number one. But if BYU went back to the Alamo Bowl again and took on Washington, fantastic.
There's a history there with Washington.
Yes.
Right? We got some good games. We always battle over 84 and 80. Well, they're the ones that argue 84. We don't.
You know what I love most about this list? There's no Shreveport on it. That's
nice.
What I love most about
you.
It.
It's good for you. Give me Clemson and the Pop-Tarts. I just think Dabo Sweeney and all that. Like, year two of a compelling opposing coach in the bowl game.
So you take Clemson over Georgia Tech because of the name brand.
I don't like – Georgia – I mean, Georgia Tech is a physical brand of football that BYU can match up with. But, Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, that would be fun.
If you missed any episodes of Coordinator's Corner, specifically yesterday, and Aaron Roderick's comments, always good stuff on there. Kelly Papinga on the show, too. They broke down the West Virginia game. It's on demand on the BYU TV app.
After the break, I speak with BYU punter Sam Vanderhaar to recap his latest fake field goal and a successful one against West Virginia, and what he's saying to Will Farron after a missed field goal. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Did you ask him about Bluey?
And Sam's got the first down, and Sam inside the 25.
Sam Vanderhaar, the holder, also the punter, picks up 11. Kalani's always got in the back pocket.
What a weapon, Sam Vanderhaar. He's got to have one of the best average yards per carry of any player in BYU history.
He had a 22 last year against Baylor and then the Friday night.
With the minimum of two carries.
Minimum two carries. Sam Vanderhaar is the greatest running back in BYU history.
We got to figure that out.
Well, Cody Hagan actually would argue otherwise.
He's scoring touchdowns.
He's got 84 yards and two touchdowns.
There you go. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan, and we're talking about Sam Vanderhaar because I spoke with him yesterday to discuss the latest fake field goal phenomenon and the relationship he has with Will Farron, how they work together after some missed field goals. Sam Vanderhaar is on BYU Sports Nation. Sam, we naturally need to begin this conversation with another unforgettable special teams special that you and your teammates pulled off against West Virginia on Friday night, this time with the fake snap between the legs. Walk us through the preparation and what went into that play, if you don't mind.
No, of course. Yeah. So Coach Pop and Coach Hill, I think, sort of introduced that during camp. And just sort of said, you know, this is a nice variation of the fake that we've already done. And we thought we could get teams to bite at it if we were to, you know, try and replicate the fake that we've already done. And so, really good, really smart, good game planning by them. And then, at every practice we practice it. And, they gave us the look that we were after and it was on. And away we went. So it was good.
Now, I know Kalani was a little frustrated that it was a fake field goal to only set up another field goal. But as a special teams unit, how did you feel about your performance overall for the game?
Yeah, I think we were good. You know, there's always room to improve. We always want to be perfect on all facets, and we weren't, obviously. So we want to always try and keep pushing the envelope of what we can do as a unit. I believe that we have one of the better special teams units in the country across all phases. And so we just really want to try and push that standard. And I think we are always pretty solid, but solid's probably not good enough. We always want to try and be, the best we can be across all facets. So it was a good performance, but looking forward to replicating a few of the mistakes we made as a whole group and bringing that into Arizona.
Sam, you're putting together some nice film between the fake field goal against UCF last year, the fake punt against Baylor a few games before that, your run against West Virginia. Yes or no, do we need more Sam Vanderhaar running the ball for BYU?
Yes. No. So I don't know. Just whatever the coaches tell me to do, I just go out and do it. I'm not really a big proponent of saying no to anything. So if they want me to run backwards, I'll run backwards. If they want me to, you know, run a fake, they want me to punt it wherever, I'll do it. So, my job is a service role. And so whenever they ask me to go and pin punt from the 30-yard line or backed up punt and got to punt it away or run a fake, I'll just do whatever I need to help the team win.
Sam, you and Will Farron have a very close, tight-knit relationship. And he had that streak of 24 consecutive field goals going. And then couple of long field goal misses before he came back in and made his next one against West Virginia. What's your mindset and process with Will when you are coming off of a miss to try and get back on track?
Yeah, Will's very good at just, taking the rep, understanding kind of, whether it was a miss or make, dissecting a little bit and then moving on. So that's obviously doing that all very fast because we're in a game. He's probably one of the best I've ever seen at that, just being able to move on. We always talk about how you almost need to have like amnesia in kind of what we do, where you just need to have a short memory, move on, so you can go and execute the next kick. So we always talk about the kick, whether he misses or makes it, about the hold, the tilt, the snap, you know, just chatting about it, not really even making it that deep, just because if you sort of hyper-focus on it too much, it can bleed into your next kicks. And so Will sort of showed his ability to be able to go out and just perform when he went out and made the next one after that miss. So credit to him.
How are you feeling about your season average on the punt? Because I know that last punt against Colorado didn't give you as many yards as you might have wanted, but it was a massive punt.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been good. Yeah, we obviously, you know, here at BYU, net punt is number one priority, and I think that we're tracking really well in that aspect. And so I think we're at -2 return yards on the year or something. So that's obviously what we're really striving for, is to limit return yards and set up good field position and flipping the field for our team. And so the coach has just put me in a really good spot where I can go and showcase my strengths. And so, you know, it hasn't been perfect, but I think that it's been good, and it's something that we can continue to build on into the second half of the year.
From an overall team perspective, in team meetings following the win against West Virginia, how are you feeling about the matchup with Arizona in all three phases?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. They're obviously a very good team. They're actually very similar to us statistically in a lot of different areas, which I'm sure you know, obviously. So it should be a really good matchup. You know, I'll always back us in against anybody, but it's one of those things where we obviously have to prepare diligently to be able to go out and give them our best shot. And I think that, you know, focusing on special teams, they have a very good special teams unit. Their coordinator really is really good at setting up returns and those types of things. So just being really diligent with, you know, going out of practice this week and just being intentional with, you know, hang time and location and making sure that our operation is smooth and yeah, just going out and performing.
Being a married football player at BYU is not necessarily an uncommon thing, but I do like to talk with the players about how that has changed your life and perspective as an athlete, being married. Like, how has that influenced and impacted how you view the game and where it all stands in the grand scheme of life?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I think it's probably the single most attributing factor to probably my personal, I guess, success, or however you want to call it. You know, I think that without Hallie, I probably wouldn't be able to do any of this. And so it's just one of those things where it makes the bad games almost easier to deal with. It like the old saying that there's no bad days or anything. And I think that being married just sort of makes you look outside yourself and you know, and you can appreciate things other than football. You know what I mean? I think that football obviously is secondary when you are married. And so it makes going out and playing the game a lot easier and a lot more, I think you're just a lot more loose, you know, you're not so hyper-focused on what you're doing. And I think that as a specialist, that's super important to be able to just go out and just allow, I guess, all the work that you've done just take over and not sort of worry about it too much.
He's got an amazing average yards per carry and an amazing fashion sense. He is Sam Vanderhaar on BYU Sports Nation. Shout out to you and Hallie. We appreciate your time, brother. Good luck against Arizona.
Thanks, Spence. Appreciate it, mate. Go Cougs.
You can watch the full version of that conversation. If you thought that was good, just wait for the YouTube version.
Not many people can pull out that shirt.
Nor! BYU football with Klein's talking back tonight as the head coach, Parker Kingston, joined Greg Rebell in Studio C to preview Saturday night's game at Arizona tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, BYU TV football analyst Blaine Fowler joins the show to discuss the Cougars' 5-0 start, the tough upcoming schedule, including his expectations for the final seven, and why he's confident against Arizona. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 18, BYU football prepping for Arizona Saturday night. Here's head coach Klein Satake on the challenge the Wildcats present, specifically stopping quarterback Noah Fifita.
Very talented team. They have a lot of, I mean, first of all, starts off with the quarterback. The guy can sling it, and you know, I've been a fan of his. I won't be cheering for him this weekend, obviously, but I love the way he plays the game and the way that he's able to distribute the ball.
Kalani Sitake led BYU teams 4-0 versus Arizona, 1-0 in Tucson.
Arizona head coach Brent Brennan also spoke with the media yesterday ahead of the showdown between the Cougars and Wildcats. He referenced specifically what he has seen from BYU's freshman quarterback Bear Bachmeier this season.
He's obviously a dual threat guy and a real dual threat guy. I think he's their second leading rusher on their team, or second highest carries anyway. And he's really effective throwing the ball too. So I think that's one of those deals where when you have a young player and you can get him comfortable and get him into flow like they have, and then also play good defense behind it, it gives him a chance to play with real confidence, and he's doing that right now.
Pre-game coverage for Saturday's showdown begins at 6 Eastern, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Bear Bachmeier was named Big 12 Freshman of the Week for the third time this season, second consecutive week. You could say he went Bach to Bach.
Oh,
Bear passed for a career.
You call me anchor boy.
Gregor Bell tweeted that. Bear passed for a career high 351 yards, ran for 43 yards as well, was responsible for two touchdowns in the win over West Virginia. And today, Bear was named to the midseason watch list for the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award by the Maxwell Football Club. Very nice.
BYU women's soccer picks up a critical Big 12 road win at Oklahoma State last night, winning 4-1.
Hey.
Lucy Kessler scored her first career brace in that victory, while Madden Summers Oviatt scored her first career goal. And Ellie Walbrook notched her fifth goal of the season. BYU now 2-2-1 in five matches of Big 12 play. Up next, their third straight conference road game at 20th-ranked Baylor on Friday.
Women's volleyball dropped two spots, number 21 in this week's AVCA poll, after a 1-1 road trip, winning at Cincinnati, losing in five sets to West Virginia, their first win ever versus a ranked opponent, apparently. Well, up next, BYU hosts Houston on Saturday.
BYU Gymnastics releasing their schedule for the 2026 season yesterday. The Cougars opened the season on January 9th against Oregon State in the Marriott Center, the first of five home meets in the Marriott Center. The Big 12 Championships slated for March 21st at the Maverick Center in West Valley, Utah.
And good luck to the women's tennis team, who's hosting the ITA Regional Championships today through Saturday. Eventful week.
Let's welcome in our next guest on a loaded show. Blaine Fowler, dual threat analyst for BYU TV Sports, football and basketball. We focus on football specifically today. Blaine, great to see you. How are you doing?
Good. What's up, guys?
Hey, you know, we're just reveling in the fact that BYU's 5-0 with a chance to get bowl eligible six games into the season.
Forgot about that.
They beat Arizona. So, Blaine, off the top, why do you like BYU's chances against Arizona?
I feel like BYU's been a little more tested than Arizona at this point. They've been on the road an additional game. So Arizona's played primarily at home. The one game they've had on the road, they lost. BYU's got two road wins. So they've been in a tough environment and tested a little bit more. I think the level of talent that they've played, you can make an argument that BYU's level of talent they play is a little bit better. And I think that BYU has they had a great game plan to defend Noah Fifita the last time they played last year. And I think that game plan still applies, with the exception that they don't have McMillan lining up at wide receiver, who honestly, guys, last year, outside of Travis Hunter, I think that was the best football player BYU played against last year, was Arizona's McMillan. He was phenomenal. Like, even if you had him one-on-one covered, he was open, because he was just going to catch everything and moss people all over the field. So I just feel like the combination of the tests that BYU's had and their understanding of the best way to defend Noah Fifita gives them a slight edge in this one, and I think they've got a chance to win it because of that.
Seven games left in the regular season. Aaron Roderick said on Coordinator's Corner he thinks the next six are the toughest six-game stretch in BYU history. So talking about the remaining seven, what's your fair expectation for BYU's record in that, because the schedule gets significantly tougher?
Yeah, and we didn't know that the way it was setting up that it was going to be like this, right? Because there's some teams like Cincinnati. Guys, Cincinnati looks really good.
Yeah.
So there's some surprises. Arizona, this is a test this week. That before the season, we were like, they just weren't that good last year. Did they make a jump forward? So a couple of these games going into the season that we kind of penciled in as, okay, those are – BYU should have the upper hand in those. Now you start to go, whoa – those two teams on the road. So what do I expect I expect BYU to win at least 9 games overall in the regular season this year. So I expect them to find at least 3 more, minimum. I think they will get to 10. Just because I feel like this defense is good enough that they're going to be in games. And I feel like Bear continues to learn every single game. He had a couple of unique turnovers in this last game, his first two, really. But both were great learning opportunities for him. He's such a smart player that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. He just, if he makes a mistake, he learns from it, and then he doesn't repeat it, which is a wonderful thing for a young quarterback, right? So I think he's going to just continue to get better. And as he gets better and BYU takes care of the ball, now you put the pressure on that defense. I like the pressure on that defense. I think they're good enough to be in every single solitary game down the stretch. So 9, I think we should celebrate. 10, I do not think is out of the question. 8, to me, I know a lot of people are saying 8. To me, that's a little bit of a disappointment based on how good this defense is and how far Bear Bachmeyer's come along.
That would be awesome if they get to 10. That's incredible. Jack Kelly's banged up. Isaiah Glasker could have come back in but sat out with an injury. If those guys aren't 100%, does that change the number?
The thing that they bring is they just don't hesitate. They have tremendous speed. But you know what? BYU, across the board at that linebacker position, has probably got as much speed as anybody in the country, especially when you have Isaiah and Jack out there. But Ace and Micah Kafusi can run. Alford can run. Siali Asara at 250 pounds, run. I think he runs as well as any 250-pounder in the country. You don't lose a ton of speed when you get into the depth at linebacker position, but what you lose is that just flat-out confidence that those two guys play with, where they make the read and they go. The quarterback breaks containment, they trigger, and they run the quarterback down. And part of it is their flat-out speed, but the other guys have that. The other part is they read their keys, and immediately, bam, they're out. And when they come out, they just close so quickly that the quarterbacks don't have a chance. You need that against the quarterbacks they played. Now Noah's a little bit different in that he kind of scrambles around to buy time to throw it. Like he may scramble and get some yards, but he's not the guy. He's not, you know, the guy that's going to run 37 yards down the field in the run game against you. He just uses his feet in such a great way to buy extra time to get the ball downfield. So it's a little bit different challenge this week. There's a drop off. Like, to say there's no drop off if you don't have those two guys is silly. They may be the best outside linebacker combo in the country, period. And so there's going to be a drop off, but the drop off's not as big as people might think, because they're loaded with talent at that position, as deep as any position group on the field. And you know, you guys put that group up, the backs of them. Those are some really talented players. Those are the Isaiah Glaskers and Jack Kellys in the next couple years, and you guys have already mentioned it. Isaiah is very likely to play because he wanted to come back in, but I think they made almost like a coach's decision. Hey, you've been nursing a sore ankle. You got this thing that just happened. We've got this game. Let's sit you so you're healthy for this crazy stretch run. So I think that we're most likely going to see him, and he'll be able to be at normal speed. And Jack, I think this is a day by day to see how serious this thing is. But, you know, all indications are it's not a season ending injury for Jack. So when does he come back? You know, is it this week? Is it 2 weeks from now? Or is it 4 or 5 weeks from now? That could change my projection by a game or two, depending on when he comes back. So that's a long answer to say, yeah, it changes it.
Yes. Blaine Fowler delivering the goods. Always good to have you on the show. Blaine, let's do it again soon.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Blaine.
Perspective from Blaine.
Yep. After further review with Blaine, Dave, David, coming up tonight, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app, as they look at some of the best plays from BYU and their big win over West Virginia.
Let's keep this thing rolling with Mariah Hudgens and Lara Rokel of BYU women's basketball.
Yeah!
Give us an inside look at how practices are going and why this team's going to be different than the last two. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now, as promised, another dynamic duo. Representing BYU women's basketball, they are Mariah Hudgens and Lara Rokel. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
What's up? How are we doing?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, question for both of you. What's the most exciting thing about starting a brand new season? Mariah, we'll begin with you.
I think just all of our new teammates, our new staff. It's just, there's so much excitement going into this year. I just like can't contain anymore. I'm so ready for games to start. Yeah.
And Lara, for you, what's the most exciting part of a new season?
It's exciting to play in the Marriott Center for the first time, get to experience the BYU experience, I would say. Also the fans. I'm so excited for that, but also like the new teammates, the team, the coaches. It's all amazing. Yeah.
Larry, you're transferred from the College of Charleston. You were in Connecticut before that. When BYU signed you, I loved it. Said she loves Dennis Rodman because she wants to rebound like him.
Yeah.
You're a double-double kind of player. Why Dennis Rodman? Because he's the best rebounder of all time, perhaps?
Yes, but also, like, it was always my mom's favorite player growing up.
Your mom's favorite
yeah,
player?
My mom's
That's
favorite
awesome.
Player.
That's great.
She, like, grew up watching the Bulls, so that was her, like, era when they were, like, really good.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just fell in love with, like, his playing style, like, how he acts on the court, just, like...
On the court specifically,
on the court,
right?
Yeah.
Not off the court? Okay.
But, yeah, how he just, like, I don't know, hustles out there and everything. Yep. So that's what I want
to
be.
Are you going to dye your hair green at any point or put a bullseye in your hair? Anything that he did?
It was crazy.
I don't know about that. Maybe, like, a little wig for Halloween, but that would be...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. If we go to the tournament, I'm going green.
Heck yeah.
Naturally, Mariah, I feel like we have to ask you who your favorite professional player was growing up.
My favorite was Elena Deladon. She was in the, she played on the Chicago Sky.
Yep.
She was like a four. I always fell in love with her, even though I wasn't a four growing up. But just like how she carried herself, the way she played was always just so impactful to me.
Chicago yeah. ties to both players.
Oh yeah. Hey, there you go.
Let's go.
Okay. Nice handshake and everything.
Let's go.
We don't have a handshake. We've been doing this 13 years. We got to figure that out. Okay. Talk to us about practice so far. You're getting ready for kind of a new era, obviously being new here. You know, the Lee Kamard era, we're excited about it. What have you seen that excites you, Lara?
I'm just excited about, like, how we all fit together, like, our whole team. We, like, every practice, we, like, I don't know, like, make new bonds. You, like, see the chemistry on the court. I'm just excited for that. And also, like, our coaches are so amazing. They encourage us and everything. So, yeah.
Mariah, you are coming off of an injury that frustratingly kept you sidelined for a lot of last season. How is injury recovery and how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, things have been great. I think there's definitely highs and lows, you know, just coming back into being fully in practice 5 days a week for like 2.5 hours. But I mean, things have been great. I'm just so thankful to have Jeff and Steven who have been so helpful just in my recovery.
How are you feeling about this season? Because it's a team that feels anxious and excited to improve, to take the next step. Mm-hmm. What does the next step look like?
I think, I mean, not to sound cliche, but wins. I think that is the next big step for us. I think, I mean, we're trying to get back into that winning era of BYU women's basketball. And so I think that's just going to take all of us having all hands on deck, doing whatever we can, being very assignment sound, and just, you know, making sure that we're doing whatever we can to help our team win.
Both of you, again, transfers to BYU. Why ultimately, and I know Mariah, you've touched on this before, but we're going to revisit it again. Why was BYU the right fit for you with Lee Kamard and so much newness? So, Lara, let's begin with you. Why was this the right place for you?
I don't know. I stepped on campus my first day on my visit, and I was like, I don't know. I just had this feeling. I turned around to my mom. I was like, this is the place I want to be at. It was like, I walked into the gym and all the teammates that were there, or like they were not my teammates at that point yet, but they like welcomed me in. The coach was just like, it felt like family, and that's something like I wanted out of my last school and out of the experience. So yeah, and then the like surrounding is so beautiful, all the mountains, I love it. So yeah.
What was it that made you feel like, and when Brigham Young entered this valley and no one lived here, he said, this is the place. So similar words to you. Why did you feel like, hey, this is the place for you?
I don't know, like, it was just, like, mostly the people who just, like, welcomed me. Like, even on the streets, like, people just, like, came up to me, started talking to me. I was like, I don't know all these people, but they, like, already, like, so nice to me. And then, like, when they found out that I'm, like, I'm a recruit and I'm on my visit here, they were like, you have to come here and everything. And I don't know. It's just, like, yeah.
How many return missionaries have spoken German to you?
Oh, a couple. Maybe like 10, 15.
Yegor Demin, who was here last year, he talked a lot about how weirded out he was by how many people spoke Russian to him, right? So it's a unique experience that way.
Yeah.
And then Spencer asked you too, but Mariah, it's been a year, but why has BYU been the place for you? Has that been confirmed for you over the past year?
Oh, 100%. When I was in the portal last year, I was in just such a dark place. And so when I was talking to our staff here, when I came on my visit, like, it was just like light brought back into my soul. So I was like, I know that this is the place for me. This is where I want to finish. Like, I am all in. Like, I'm a Cougar for life. So I just love it here. I just love the energy and impact it's had on my life.
And you've talked about this, but you chose to be baptized a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How's the first kind of year been for you?
Gosh, it's been great. Yeah, I was baptized back in February. It's been just a whirlwind of emotions. I mean, I've experienced so many just impactful things from people and just advice, like just learning to kind of navigate that lifestyle. It's been so hard, but so rewarding. I'm so happy.
It's bigger than sports and bigger than basketball. The awesome duo of Lara Rokel and Mariah Hudgens from BYU Women's Basketball are on BYU Sports Nation. This is a question more suited for you, Mariah, because you were here last year and went through the frustrations of another tough Big 12 season. You said, look, it's going to manifest itself in wins. I guess my question is why? Why do you feel like this program will take a step forward and there will be more wins and you will have a significant push forward in the Big 12?
I just think everyone's all in. And I think that's all we really need, like from our players, our staff, our managers, even our practice players, like everyone's all in to make us better. And I think that will really do itself like when games come around, just knowing that all hands are on deck. Like I said earlier, just everyone wants to see us be successful. And I think it's just going to take everyone. So yeah, just being all in.
Tell us about some of those everyone's, because obviously we know about Delaney Gibb, Ari Mackey-Williams back from an ACL, which is great. Not just one, I think, but two, right? Mm-hmm. Which of your teammates do you feel like are going to really impact this season and be helpful? And what are the words, I guess, you would use to describe what this team is?
I feel like everyone, like, plays a role. Like, everyone, and even in practice, we see it, like, some days, like, it's that one person that steps up. The other day, it's the next person. It's like, there's not one person that's going to, like, bring this team to the tournament and everything. It's going to be all of us just, like, working together.
Yeah. And I will say, to piggyback off of that, I've been just so impressed by our freshmen. They have come in and just, they've done amazing. I've never been on a team where our freshmen just feel like seniors almost. Like, I'm so proud of them, and they've been working so hard, I think. I don't know. I'm just so excited to play with each and every one of them. And then even our sophomores, not only Delaney, but like Brindley and Cambry, they've been doing a great job just like staying in the gym. I mean, Cambry's coming off injury as well. Mm-hmm. So just being able to have her back in practice also. But Brindley's taken such a big step from her freshman year to sophomore year. It's been amazing to watch and now play with them, not just be on the sidelines cheering them on.
We've had Sydney Benally in here a bunch of times. She's a baller. It's going to be awesome, man.
I love watching the women's sports congregate on the front or second row of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. There's like this women's sports aura cheering on the BYU football team, right? Like, yes, this is a happy place. Yes.
And they'll be there for you at your games too, which is cool.
Yeah, and that you kind of took the words out of my mouth. What's your message to Cougar Nation and to your fellow athletes at BYU about showing up and being excited for BYU women's basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I know this year, like, us as a team have really talked about doing our part in supporting all the other sports. So I think just wanting that in return, I mean, like, this place is so special and there's so much magic in every stadium, whether that is the Marriott Center or the soccer stadium or the football stadium. Like, there's so much just magic going on. So I think just being able to experience that on the men's and women's side, it's going to be really awesome this year.
Well, we're excited for the exhibition against Western Colorado coming up October 28th, and then the season opener against Coastal Carolina. We got to pay them back for the football game in 2020, yes. By the way. I know you guys weren't here, but we need to win November 5th. Thanks for coming in, and best of luck.
Thank you so much for having us. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Take all of the BYU Sports Nation karma and win.
We are weeks away from hoops. I know we're so focused on football and women's volleyball and women's soccer. We got hoops coming up, and if you miss any shows, interviews, Deep Blues, you can catch them on the free BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
After the break, we look at the top five plays from BYU football's win over Arizona last year ahead of this weekend's matchup, you know, to set the proper tone. It's Top 5 Tuesday next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX. Healthcare careers built for victory. From at Travis underscore T9X, who says, the final seven games, whatever it takes to get our boys eating a giant Pop-Tart in Orlando on December 27th. Best case 6-1, probable 4-3. Acceptable as long as they beat Utah 3-4.
Amen to all that.
All right, today's no, shout out, presented by Mountain America Official Credit Union, BYU Athletics.
The return of Peach My Gospel ice cream flavor. Love that.
Delicious. Our thanks to today's guests, Sam Vanderhaar, Blaine Fowler, Mariah Hudgens, and Lara Rokel. Join us 2 Eastern, 12 Mountain, for President Nelson's funeral live on BYU TV. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs.